We're talking now with Grant Dorman. He is the Republican candidate for Bonner County Assessor, one of three of those. Grant, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Well, let's start out with an introduction to voters. Tell us a bit about your background, how you wound up in Sandpoint, and things you think folks would like to know about you.
Okay. My name is Grant Dorman, and I am running for Bonner County Assessor. I've been married for 28 years, have four children. My oldest is a senior at Hillsdale College in Michigan. I have a son in the Navy, and I have another son here in town working in the construction industry, and a daughter wrapping up high school. I grew up in a conservative Republican household in California. My father was a builder. My mother was a school teacher. After high school, I joined the Navy. I served as an air traffic controller, and following which I went to school to pursue an engineering degree and decided I didn't want to be indoors the rest of my life. So I changed direction, graduated in land surveying, and I started my career as a land surveyor in 1998. My first job out of college was in Southeast Idaho, working on the rural lands, you know, ranch lands down there. And in looking to start a family, my wife and I decided to move back to California, where I continue to work as a land surveyor in the real estate industry, residential, commercial, and eventually started my own business. Worked in that industry and continued with my business. 2008, everything fell apart. Real estate went down the toilet. It was a rough couple of years after that. I decided to go back and get my master's in business administration, where I decided to broaden my business into other industries to diversify so as to avoid the boom bust cycle of real estate. And I focused on public utilities, transportation, public works, and eventually the timber industry, just to kind of round out the business sector to be a little more resilient. So fast forward to 2020, sold the business, stayed on for another year as a consultant, helped with that transition. And last year I had some more time and decided to get involved in other ways. I work with a local Boy Scout troop. I'm the troop chaplain. I'm also the Family Life Merit Badge Counselor. I have served overseas in an engineering capacity, working with ministries where they do design projects for nonprofit organizations, waterline projects, hospitals, orphanages, things like that. So right after the 2008 crash, I had the opportunity as a family, we did to take the whole family to Costa Rica for a year and a half and work down there at an orphanage where the whole family learned Spanish, got to serve. It's a pretty exciting time. Kind of just opened up the whole family's view to what life could look like outside of just, you know, a pretty narrow view that we would otherwise have. So anyway, I look forward to answering your questions. I know that's a little quick, brief summary, but we only have a little bit of time. So.
Well, that's great. Basically, you went through education and professional experience. Is there any other trade or professional association you belong to you might want to mention? You mentioned you did work with nonprofits, so.
Yep, I do. I have. And when I was in Costa Rica, I served as a board treasurer for a different orphanage down there. I'm a member of the Idaho, Professional Land Surveyors Society. And when I was in California, I was a member of the California Land Surveyors Association. So I've been active in my career in the different trade associations.
Okay, well, here's a question I ask all candidates. Why are you running?
Well, the reason I'm running is I continue to see some of the problems in our local assessor's office with property valuations, and continue to hear the same story. We'll get into some of the biggest issues, but the story goes something like, hey, last year my property taxes jumped, or my assessments jumped 200-300%. Like, we know property values are going up, but why did it jump that much in 1 year? So in that, I started diving into some of the challenges that we see, and it just continued to there's a lot of other issues. Gets into data, gets into some other stuff we probably don't have time to go into, but a lot of our costing information at the county is really antiquated and really needs to be updated so we can stay up with the market.
We'll swing back to that in just a second here. Another question I'm asking everybody, though, is if elected, how much time will you spend in office each week?
My plan is to be in there full time. My plan is to be in the office as well as being, I actually plan to spend some time in the field, because I know a lot of times as a surveyor, I know if you only stay in the office, you lose touch with what's happening in the field. And a big part of what the assessor's office does is has field appraisers going out into the field. They also monitor forestry exemptions. So there's a lot of work to make sure we're still in tune with what's happening in the field. So I plan on spending a fair amount of time in the field as well as in the office.
Okay. Well, on to the issues. You started to talk about one there at least, but right. What do you consider the biggest issues in the assessor's race that you would like voters to consider while they're making a decision?
I would say the top two. There's two top ones. Probably the number one is the valuations that are going on right now are all over the place. We've seen, so the amount of appeals that make themselves to the county or to the state, Bonner County represented 46% of the appeals to the state last year. Out of 44 counties, we have almost half of the appeals going to the state. Last 3 years, Kootenai County had 4, Boundary County had 1, we had 28 appeals to the state. I mean, by orders of magnitude, more than other comparable counties. So we got to get a handle on the valuation of what's going on. Why is there so much dissatisfaction happening at the assessor's office and at the board equalization level, which is the county commissioners? So we're not taking care of it in-house. We got to get this wrapped up so we're able to handle it in-house.
Can I dig in on that one a little bit?
Sure.
So what do you, looking over those appeals, what did you see as the main point of question that the folks appealing their assessments had?
Well, what happened was what we're seeing is that these values continue to jump, exorbitantly. And a lot of times that happens when there hasn't been a lot of sales in a particular neighborhood, then all of a sudden there's a big sale and all of a sudden the values jump incredibly because that shouldn't be happening if we had accurate square footage prices, accurate per acre prices. Then our trending would be able to keep up with the market. But if those values are super low and there's no sales to adjust for that, then they have artificially low values. And what's unfair about that is when one community has lower values and another community has accurate values, those that have accurate values wind up paying larger than their fair share of taxes. And then those that have lower values pay less than their fair share. So those, if all the values were more equitable and accurate, then everybody would be paying a more fair as the statute intends for it to be. Mm-hmm. So if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. That's kind of data intensive, but.
Okay, you mentioned there's another issue that you wanted to.
Yeah, employee turnover is a big problem. We continue to have, hiring and folks leave. The county has a policy, which I don't have a problem with this policy. If another department has an opening, county employees can apply to transfer to other departments. And a lot of our employees that once they're trained up as appraisers, they start to gain some institutional knowledge, they're either leaving to other departments or they're going into the private sector. And so that needs to be addressed. That's really, it's hard from the outside. It's hard to really put my finger on exactly why it's happening other than to recognize it's a problem that needs to be addressed. We got to be able to slow down that employee turnover because we invest as taxpayers, we invest in the training to these folks and we need to keep them. So we need to figure out what we got to do in order to keep them happy, make sure they're doing their job well, they're equipped to do their job and they're not feeling disenfranchised.
Seems like that might be driven a lot by compensation, a decision to change up.
It could be if they're doing transfers to other departments. It depends if they get a pay raise to go to a different department, that would be a problem. Why are they not being fairly compensated at the current level? If they're not getting a pay raise, why are they leaving? Why is it look greener across the other side of the fence? I don't know. We'd have to get into that and see.
Okay. Any other issues that you'd want to bring up as, things you want voters to consider while they're making a decision?
Privacy and property rights is a big one. There's been a lot of problems in this assessor's office with violation of property rights, trespass, whatnot. And that's the other story I continue to hear. People saying, oh, somebody was in my backyard. I never gave them permission. Or different one, oh, I saw people peering in my window, things like that. Like, we're going to implement zero trespass rules. We have to work within the law in terms of what Idaho says we can and cannot do with respect to trespass. Also, the DMV, we got a couple years of tough times with regard to the DMV. The state's in the process of basically defunding the local DMVs. They're trying to drive behavior online and to mail-in, but at the same time, expecting assessors to keep their DMV, Department of Motor Vehicle Licensing, open. So that's going to be a challenge going forward. So staffing is going to be a challenge. We're going to do everything we can to try to keep the services at the highest level possible. And the other thing I want to do there that's not being done is more outreach, let people know what's going on. Why, even though it's going to be tough, if folks understand what's really driving this, that this is a budgetary thing from the state, you know, pulling back the funds, then people have a better chance to understand. And also we can help folks understand how to maybe navigate the website or do the mail-in registration. Because ultimately, I think that's where they're going, is to do all online and mail-in registration. Mm-hmm. Long-term, that's the state's plan.
Yeah, if DMV, just anecdotally, the thing you hear the most is the long waits that people have when they go to the Department of Motor Vehicles to do some kind of business.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the problem for sure.
Okay. Well, here's a question that you've really kind of addressed, but I've been asking all the candidates the same one, so I'll ask it again. With property values soaring right now, there's real concern among many local homeowners that they simply won't be able to afford their homes. What would you say to those folks?
I think there's two things going on. One was the misvaluation problem. So you're seeing, you know, tax shifts from folks that, you know, inappropriate tax shift due to the inaccuracies of property valuation. And one thing that a lot of folks don't get is that property assessments really drive your portion of the tax bill. The property tax burden a community faces is ultimately decided by the taxing district, school districts, hospital districts, road and bridge, the commissioner's office, etc. They drive their budgets, and then that's distributed across the community according to your property values. But if those values are inequitable and don't represent the actual property values, you're going to see tax shifts that are inappropriate. That's part of it. The other part of it is the homeowner's exemption. Right now we have, state raised it from $100,000 to $125,000 exemption for owner-occupied homes. Well, depending on the county you live in, I mean, that $125,000 may represent 20% of your value. Might represent 50% of the value if you live in other parts of Idaho. Mm-hmm. So if I had, a voice in Boise, it'd be make that $125,000, make that homeowner exemption somewhat variable based on the median cost of housing.
Indexed to the county, as opposed to
just being a flat fee across the state as though every county has the same cost of housing, which is completely absurd. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, speaking about voices in the legislature, here's another question I'm asking. So each year the legislature seems to talk about enacting different plans for property tax relief, but not much seems to come to fruition. Right. Is there a role for county assessors to play in property tax relief at the legislative level that you perceive?
I think there is. You know, I think making legislators aware of the way property taxes work, and local government is primarily funded through property taxes. It's not typically a state function. And a lot of legislators may not understand that a lot of property taxes come from local tax district decisions. There could be some, legislation, enacted to be able to work with, like I said, the homeowners exemptions. That could be an area they could work on for homeowners. To make that more viable in these communities where the cost of living is higher or the cost of housing is higher. That's one area. But I think one of the big roles the assessor has is public outreach, to where people understand where their property taxes originate. And that's at the taxing district budgetary meetings that rarely anybody ever shows up to. People show up to for the elections, but then once the people are elected, there's an accountability there at the budget hearings. Mm-hmm. Those are the direct drivers into property taxes. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a big component, is not just at the state, but at the local level also. Mm-hmm.
So shout out to voters. Get in on those budget meetings.
Absolutely.
Like you said, I've been to many of them at city and county level that nobody shows up when the budget's being set.
Folks that need to look at their property tax bill, lower right-hand side, there's a list there of all the taxing districts you're a part of. It includes a phone number and the date for the budget hearing. So mark it on your calendars and get out there and let your voice be heard.
Okay, well, one more question. What differentiates you from other candidates? Why should people vote for you, Grant Dorman?
So my experience, what I would bring to the office is the entrepreneurial, the private sector, how to run a business as a viable entity, looking at manpower, looking at staffing, looking at customer service. In the private sector, if you don't serve your customers, you don't have a business. And that, I think, is lost a lot of times in public service. Bringing that perspective in to the culture is a big reason. A lot of both of my opponents are somewhat inward looking. They look to the county, they look to their coworkers, they don't necessarily look outward to the voters. They're looking, how can I coordinate better with my coworkers? I'm suggesting, how do we work better with the voter, the every single property owner? And there's basically two groups as I see it. There's the public that we're dealing with, that is in terms of they're the voter, they're the customer. But a subset of that, though, all the employees are also taxpayers. They're also citizens of the community. So we have an obligation to both the outward community as well as the employees to best serve the community.
Okay. Well, Grant Dorman, how can people that are weighing how they might vote find out more about you? Website, yep. Social media, phone, whatever you want to provide here.
Yep. You can reach out to me on email. I'd be happy to get back to you. VoteGrantDorman@protonmail.com. You can also go to my website, grantdorman.com. Just super simple, grantdorman.com.
Okay.
Fortunate enough to have a unique name to be able to capture that domain.
Okay. All right. Well, Grant Dorman, candidate for Bonner County Assessor, thanks for talking with us today. Well,
thanks for having me. I appreciate it.